coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is Friday, the 25th day of February, 2022. I'm Doug Hagman. Got a great show lined up for you today. I want to introduce a couple of things this segment. In next segment, we're going to have Austin Brower. A little announcement, of course, coming out of the gate. Just to remind everyone, this program will be off dark next week. Now, there's a possibility I could come back with audio toward the end of the week. I can't promise anything. It would be from my office if that did happen. But I'm going to have a surgery on Monday, and of my jaw and stuff. So I'm not going to be able to talk, which is a good thing, according to my wife and Eric the Tech. But nonetheless, at least for a couple of days. All right, but a couple of things I want to get into really quickly here. Number one is essentially the foreign news. International news. And then I'm going to follow it up with domestic news, obviously, but kind of split this right down the middle. Before I get into these two specific segments, I want to mention that, of course, earlier today, the Supreme Court nominee was selected by Robinette, Mr. Potato Head and Company. Actually, this is a Barack Hussein Obama pick. And I mean that sincerely. Ketanji Brown Jackson. That's the nominee currently for Supreme Court of the United States. The problem is, you know, she was just nominated to an appellate court, all right? I mean, very little experience in terms of judicial action. This is the consequence of a plan laid out back in early 2021 with the selection of Merrick Garland and company. I want people to kind of understand this. As a matter of fact, Conservative Treehouse Sundance did a really great piece on this earlier today, I believe it was. And then it links back to, I believe it was from an article March of 2021, talking about how this regime was going to play this out. So that's that. Now, it's worthy of mention. I want to mention this. This woman that you see on your screen, okay, Ms. Jackson or Brown Jackson, her brother-in-law is the brother of former Speaker Paul Ryan, former House Speaker Paul Ryan. All right, make of that what you will. Let's keep it all in the Davos, party of Davos family, right? The man, you can't make any of this up. Now, the other bit of information, I saw this yesterday, and I really hope this sinks in with people. You know who Malcolm Nance is, right? Former national security advisor, but now a commentator on MSNBC or NBC, but MSNBC, right? I saw this tweet last night. And it was very difficult for me to comprehend. Now, again, remember the position that Malcolm Nance occupied. And now he, of course, is the expert spokesman in the mainstream media on matters of national security and international security and diplomacy. So you would think with his experience and his knowledge, this guy would know something, right? A question was asked by Steve Brandt, as you can see on your screen. And again, this was yesterday. What does Putin want with Chernobyl? And for those following this war at home, the Russian forces captured Chernobyl. As a matter of fact, they may have hit it with some artillery. You know, Chernobyl from back in 1986 when it had that little meltdown. Not unlike some No, I'm not going to say it. But anyway. So this also, accompanying Stephen Brand's question, is Ukrainian President Zelensky, writes Sarah Mueller, says Russian forces are trying to seize the Chernobyl nuclear plant. Okay, now there's his response. If you're watching this, take a look at his response. And for those listening by way of Spreaker or other platforms, his response is this. It powers central North Ukraine. Now let that sink in for a second. Given the fact that this guy held such a position, anyone want to tell him? Well, tell him what? The reactor, reactors, plural, at Chernobyl were decommissioned in December of 2000. The only thing they're powering is the ground underneath it. And the reason I brought this up, not to make fun necessarily of Malcolm Nance, no, I don't want to do that, is just to tell you, look, you know, people say, well, you not to me, but to citizen journalists, you're not a journalist. You don't know what you're talking about. You can't comment on this or you can't comment on that. You're not an expert on vaccines, or everyone's an expert on vaccines, right? Leave it to the experts. Leave it to the experts. Well, there's an expert. Boy, he should have known, right? I mean, Chernobyl made the news, made the papers. Oh, my goodness. All right. I just want to get those couple of things out of the way. Can you, again, it boggles the mind. Austin Brewer's coming up next segment. But before I move into the segment with Austin for kind of a recap of the week. Remember, we started out this week talking about the Canadian martial law, the subsequent vote in Parliament, and then, of course, the rescission of the martial law by Castro Jr. up there. And, of course, we have a freedom convoy headed now to Washington, D.C., which is the second part of this segment. But before I get into that, I want to touch base with you on this. The Ukrainian situation, the war, the invasion, whatever. Now, look, again, I'm not a foreign policy expert. I am flat out. But I am an investigator. I know how to do research. And I know that there are certain aspects of what is taking place right now that are interconnected. For example, we have interdependent economics. There are three like areas outside of the United States that are very important to us. One is Europe. Of course, we're looking at the Eurasia, as well as the Persian Gulf, the Middle East area. But what is actually going on here? There's a war going on, obviously. But I want people to understand that this is a war of oligarchs. And if you remember, I played a clip featuring. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna play this. This was published yesterday from John Bond. But before I get to John Bond, I want you to take a look at good friend Jack Posobiec, good friend of the show, good friend of mine. Had dinner with him and his wife in Washington, D.C. Beautiful family. Now Jack's plugged into what's going on, the bigger picture here. But I want people to really understand that this is a war of oligarchs. This is a war to reset to establish this global order that Schwab and company talk about. So let's go to this very important video. Jack appeared with Steve Bannon. I think it was earlier today. If not, it was yesterday or the day before. I'm not sure when. Watch this video and listen to what he says. It's about 4 minutes long, but he explains this the intelligence community, what they have done, most significantly, is pushing China and Russia into this alliance, this friendship. And we have to pay attention to this, regardless of the clutter and the noise and the chaff in the background. We have to pay attention to what the intent here, ultimate intent, or the unintended consequences, but I think it's more of an intent, what's going to be happening here. So here's Jack Posobiec talking to Steve Bannon. Please pay attention to what he's saying here. Go ahead.
But you speak fluent Mandarin. You're also Polish. You know the whole area. Give us an assessment of the first 2 days of this.
Well, Steve, you know, I say so many times when I talk about Poland, beautiful country, bad neighborhood. This is a situation that we've gotten into now. And we can't talk about this thing starting from chapter 8, from the middle of it. You got to go back to the beginning. So do we condemn the butchery? Do we condemn the brutality that we're going to see? We do, obviously. But you got to talk about how we got here. And I think what Nigel said earlier was correct. They laid out the framework for this by increasing the tensions, just as Mearsheimer predicted, increasing the tensions, rather than denying them an economic deal with Russia, denying them any economic ties, doing everything they could to steal the money from the people of Ukraine. Keep in mind, this is all about the elites on both sides. You got oligarchs in Russia, you got oligarchs in Russia, or in Ukraine, you got oligarchs in Belarus. Do you think the people there want any of this? Do you think any of the civilian people, we talk about the Lao Beijing in China that are the subjects of the CCP, you've got the exact same thing here. These are autocratic regimes. The people there do not want fighting. They do not want more bloodshed. Yet that's what we're getting, because they see that over in the White House, they have nothing but arrogance, hubris, greed, and weakness, complete weakness from this president who won't even do what needs to be done vis-a-vis. By the way, you're talking about sanctioning Russia? Yes, obviously. Where is the economic leverage on the CCP that is completely underwriting all of this?
Jack, you know, unrestricted warfare, we talk about the three types of warfare are cyber/information war, economic war, which is the sanctions, and then kinetic war. He's gone full kinetic right now. But you saw the White House, and you're the best source guy I know in this White House. Are they actually presenting Joe Biden with offensive capability on cyber, which I think are acts of war? Is that what they're talking about, an escalation? They're going to go soft on the sanctions, but power up on actually attacking Russia? And this is from MSNBC. It's their reporting, NBC News. Jack Posobiec.
The geniuses apparently in the White House not only thought to present this escalatory action to the president, but then admit it to the media and leak it immediately. Like, if you're going to do something like that, at least do it as a gray zone operation. Don't admit that you're the ones behind it. Who do you think they're going to retaliate against now if the power goes out in Moscow? If the lights go out, they're coming for the United States. Great job, CIA. Great job, intel community. You guys have blundered us into this the same way that you have driven China and Russia, two countries that could be natural rivals, natural competitors. You've driven them into the arms with your ridiculous foreign policy blunders. This will go down in history as the greatest foreign policy failure in all of geopolitics, driving them together by choice, by choice.
Real quickly, what do you mean when you say we've driven them together when he had the opportunity to do a reverse Nixon and pull Russia into our camp? Give me 30 seconds on China's underwriting this. And that's why these sanctions are not that effective. Jack Posobiec.
About driving them together, we've done everything we could to exacerbate tensions. That was the whole point of Russiagate. That was the whole point of the Ukraine impeachment, the first one, Zelensky's call. That was the whole point of going after us when we had the laptop and all the information from Hunter Biden and the Biden family, the way that they've treated Ukraine as their own personal piggy bank for money laundering. But instead, they've been working with China to build their new system, their parallel economy. You want to kick them out of SWIFT? What do you think One Belt, One Road is there for? They're already building this economy. So we are seeing a new structure of the world order. This is the fourth turning. This is the downfall of the neoliberal order. Eurasianism is running wild. Russia, Moscow is turning to the east, and they are trying to take Ukraine along with them.
Jack, your Getter feed and
okay,
your Twitter.
That was Jack Posobiec. And again, I had the distinct honor of talking at length with Jack, and he knows what he's talking about. He knows exactly what he's talking about in terms of the international implications of all of this. And he also, the connection to the Great Reset, in how this is all playing out. Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum. It's all there. All of the elements of what we're seeing, the blueprints have been played out by the party of, or planned out by the party of Davos and published for us to see. CFR, and again, the World Economic Forum, George Soros, and all of the foundations, from the Soros foundations to Clinton Foundation to all of these NGOs. Again, this is a war of the oligarchs. But also, as a bonus, let's just take a look at Ukraine and why Ukraine is important, of course. It is first in Europe in proven recoverable reserves of uranium. Remember Hillary Clinton in Uranium One scandal? Remember that? Just saying. It's second place in Europe and 10th in the world in terms of titanium ore reserves. It's third place in Europe in shale gas reserves. And what was the recent sanctions? They didn't actually sanction the energy component to Russia. But why would that be important? Of course, why would Ukraine be important to Russia? Obviously, the shale gas reserves. You've got seventh place in the world for coal reserves, an estimated 34 billion tons of coal. And remember, Ukraine is an agricultural country, and it's first in Europe in terms of the arable land areas. So this is important. Black soil, 25%. And that's important, too. 25% of the world's volume of black soil comes from Ukraine. And, you know, the the flower of Ukraine is the sunflower. And, of course, it's first in the world of exports of sunflower and sunflower oil. But there's a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons, including the fourth largest producer of potatoes in the world. And you like whiskey? Well, it's the fifth largest producer of rye, bee production as well. I mean, all of these assets. Actually, Ukraine, and think about this, because the food wars are soon to be coming. Ukraine can meet the food needs of an estimated 600 million people. What's the population of the United States, right? So think about it in terms of that. And also, Europe's and fourth largest natural gas pipeline system in the world, some 142.5 cubic meters of gas throughput capacity in the European Union. They're second in that as well. So look at the energy. Look at the raw resources as well. This is why it's important, and this is why it's a war of the oligarchs. I want to play this, or have played this. Eric the Tech, how you doing? You doing well? Yep.
Doing good.
All right, brother. You ready for your week down week?
Yep.
All right. He's going to be taking care of some projects outside of the studio. But this next video clip, very important, kind of summarizes a lot of things and segues into the domestic situation. But the bigger picture, let's turn to John Bowne. This is a band.video or InfoWars video, and pay attention to this as well. And compare it to what you heard with Jack. Go ahead.
When you look at the state of the world right now, what's the first word that springs to your mind?
We have to think how to structure, how to design the post-corona era. And here, of course, the word reset comes to my mind, because one thing is clear, we cannot come back to the old normal.
Klaus Schwab's deceptively incompetent Great Reset plan, Pete Buttigieg, has made a mockery of the office of the Department of Transportation.
I'm still surprised that some people were surprised when I pointed to the fact that if a highway was built for the purpose of dividing a white and a black neighborhood, or if an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach, or that would have been, in New York, was designed too low for it to pass by, that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices.
Pete Buttigieg and his party have been talking about how South Bend has been systemically racist for as long as I've been here. There hasn't been a Republican mayor since before I was born. The South Bend Common Council is dominated by Democrats. If South Bend is a systemically racist city, It is because the Democratic Party made it that way.
Acting as a tentacle of the World Economic Forum's Great Reset agenda, Buttigieg urged his comrade Trudeau to use his federal powers to end the truck blockade.
The two leaders agreed that the actions of the individuals who are obstructing travel and commerce between our two countries are having significant direct impacts on citizens' lives and livelihoods.
Meanwhile, Biden's handlers tighten the screws on free speech as the DHS bulletin asserts that the U.S. is in a heightened threat landscape due to the proliferation of false or misleading narratives, which sow discord or undermine public trust in U.S. government institutions.
When this comes to America, I hope the mayors, you may not want to call yourself conservative, but I promise you, citizens in your community will thank you if you don't allow anarchy to break out in your streets the way it broke out in Canada.
Could we return to the traditional multilateralism, do you think? Or is the world on a new path?
I think also here we need a reset. We cannot go back to the system of multilateralism which we have established after World War II. What we need is a reform of the international system. Just think of the WTO. We have to integrate the new dimensions of global trade, like everything which has to do with e-commerce and so on. So definitively, multilateralism will get a boost by the election of President Biden. And I'm very hopeful that we can now create the necessary systems which we need for the 21st century.
As the war on American patriots stays on course, regardless of the FBI director's recent realization of the massive threat the Chinese pose as they infiltrate all layers of U.S. national security, the January 6th Inquisition will continue to serve as a blueprint to crush all dissent globally, unless it is revealed for the unconstitutional circus it really is. John Bound reporting.
All right. Thank you, John. You know, Klaus Schwab, somebody right out of central casting for evil characters. Am I right? I mean, you look at that guy. You could not create a Hollywood production better than Klaus Schwab. And I should add that I don't know how many people know this. I was doing some research on this, and the best I can come up with here is Schwab's mother's maiden name. Her first name is Marianne. Her maiden name is Rothschild. Does that surprise anyone? Schwab's been married to Hildy Schwab, since 1971. Just some fun facts for you. They live in Schaffhausen in Switzerland. They've got two adult children. Now listen to this, because again, this... Again, the war of oligarchs and the imposition by oligarchs into the West and into specifically in the United States. Two children, Nicole Schwab, co-founder of, you ready for this, Gender Equality Project, started in 2009. Okay. Well, what about Olivier Schwab? He's married to a Chinese woman who just happens to head the World Economic Forum's office in, guess where? Guess where? Go ahead. Beijing, China. You can't make this stuff up. Real quick, one more clip. This is Bannon from Steve Bannon, War Room. Eric Prince, Bannon, talking about this. We got to do this very quickly. The threat to the U.S. dollar. I've talked about this. They want to take down and bring down the dollar. Watch this.
You're of the point that this is all head fake, that the German and the Russian Nord Stream is going to, it's a slowdown, but they're going to eventually say, work it out, and just, because a third of their energy is going to come from that, correct?
Or more, right? Because again, the Germans shut down three fully functioning nuclear power plants in December to worship at their green altar. The Russians are also in the process of building another pipeline to China for the same gas. So if Europe really, you know, came around and said, no, we're not going to buy Russian gas, it's all going to go to China through land-based pipelines, which reduces China's dependence on maritime energy, right? China imports 90% of their hydrocarbons, much of which goes through the Straits of Malacca, a very significant choke point, a vulnerability for them. So again, this messing around by the administration with Ukraine and Russia drives Russia closer to China, not in America's interest.
That's why we have the 7th Fleet in the Straits of Malacca and the South China Sea, having sailed those a couple of three times for that reason, that the Han theory would shut it all down. This gets to the point also of the sanctions. People talk about the sanctions, talking about the Swift system and everything like that. These guys are working nonstop to partner with China to make sure the sanctions, that we don't have the economic warfare weapon.
If the administration goes as far as shutting Russia out of the SWIFT system, it increases the likelihood of dollar demise as the world's reserve currency. And then it gets really dangerous, because our entire way of life in America is fully subsidized by the fact that Congress prints money every year, yeah, and we subsidize this massive welfare state. And yeah, the sooner we destroy the dollar, extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
For all of us, but it also leads to a true great reset in America, because then you're not subsidizing all this stupidity.
And there it is.
Okay, you can stop it right there. There it is. It's about the money. It's about the great reset. Again, think about what's taking place here. Think about what happened in Canada this past weekend, or the past couple of weeks, and culminating this past weekend. Think about what's going on right now in America. The Freedom Convoy, which I want to just tell you right now. The peoplesconvoy.org is where I'm following this, and that's where you can get information about this convoy. Look, I am behind anyone who stands up, speaks out, stands against what is taking place. So that puts me right smack dab in favor of this convoy. Yeah, you know, we're hearing, okay, infiltrators, yeah, it's a setup like January 6th. By the way, January 6th, you know, the first January 6th trial is going to start when? Next week. Isn't that something? The first trial of a January 6th defendant is set to begin next week. However, in a column written by Julie Kelly in American Greatness, this trial should expose the government's weak case against most of the defendants. Also, it's interesting that there will not be a change of venue. How can they get a fair trial in D.C.? Yeah, more on that. But the Freedom Convoy, look, you've got to stand for something. I stand behind every person who's standing up to the tyranny that is in America. You know, speaking of good things, and I like good things. According to the latest research, 90% of employers plan to make enhancing employee experience a top priority this year. Eric, the tech has been saying, you got to make me happy. Anyway, and by the way, bring in people that help me be happy. After all, a happy workplace is a key to attracting and keeping great employees. Let me tell you about ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. If you are an employer, a business owner, an entrepreneur, look, let me tell you about ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. You know, making a happier workplace, you can make your employees, make them feel more valued. Ask them, you can focus on your admirative things, learning opportunities. You can allow for flexibility in work schedules with the proper employees. And you know, the proper employees make a business run well, or help a business run well, and they help the morale in general. So it's important. It's important when you hire people, and I know this from experience. When you hire people, you need to hire the right people. And if you need to add more employees fast for your team, there's ZipRecruiter. Their matching technology helps you find the right people for your roles fast. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. ZipRecruiter uses its powerful technology to find and match the right candidates for your job. Then it proactively presents these candidates for you. You can review very easily these candidates, recommended candidates, and invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. No wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated hiring site in the U.S. based on G2 ratings. Folks, find the right employees for your workplace with ZipRecruiter. Try for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. ZipRecruiter, it is the smartest way to hire. All right. You know, if it's Friday, it is it's time to spend with Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Folks, if you haven't done so already, please do this. Look, I know I harp on this, but I've got to continue really harping on this because, you know, this week I wasn't feeling good. All right. Now, I'll tell you what, it does happen, right? You could take all the supplements in the world. There's bugs out there and you still get them, but cut that time down by taking your nutritional supplements. The best on the market, healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Go to healthmasters.com. Look on your screen. If you're not, if you're listening to this, go to healthmasters.com when you can and shop. Get your ultimate multiple. Get your daily supplement from healthmasters.com and then expand from there. And they've got all sorts of products from purple sticks, which are great to flavor. If you don't like drinking water, put a purple stick in there. It's a powder, kind of like a, it's just great. It's got a great taste to it. And it gives you energy. And of course, the supplementation, natural energy with supplementation. But look at that, immune system support kit. So do that, my friends, do that. But Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Oh, and by the way, product of the week. Zinc. Man, I cannot tell you, I can't talk great enough about this, about zinc. You get zinc and D3K2 along with our quercetin, and let me tell you what, you will have a shield against the bugs out there. It'll be a boost for your immune system as well as their vitamin C. And they do have all forms of vitamin C now in stock. So definitely shop healthmasters.com. So Austin Brower from Health Masters, I got to tell you, man, it was something this week, right? Boy, we saw what the invasion, I guess, attack of Ukraine by Russia, and everyone acted surprised. I don't quite understand that, and everyone acted like, I didn't know. And then of course a lot of people are saying, well, just think what this is going to do to the economy. Just think what this is going to do to energy prices. Just think what this is going to do to insert problem here. And everything's going to be blamed on this. But I want to, you know, because of the ever evolving pieces that are going on, look, folks, it's still evolving. You know what I'm concerned about, Austin Brower, and I'm going to kick it over to you. I'm concerned about the message that this sends, the weakness on the part of the United States. And, you know, yeah, yesterday sanctions, Biden got up there and stumbled over his speech, okay? And, of course, the sanctions don't include expulsion or keeping away from SWIFT. But that's another story. But I'm concerned about China, Taiwan, and the bigger picture because right now it looks like this is a push, or not this, but the push has been for a energy reset. Gas prices are going to go through the roof. Energy reset. We need to go green. We need the bigger crisis here is climate change. So let's go to EVs, electrical vehicles. Let's wean off of fossil fuels, as they're called erroneously. So, but you know, so all of this, the bigger picture. I mean, I see a bigger picture here, and I think you do too. So, welcome to the show, by the way.
Doug, great to be on the show as always, and you're 100% accurate. You know, I've been looking at articles all day again and kind of recapping the week, and there's no question about it. From everything that we saw with Ukraine yesterday and everything that's continuing to occur, and now I saw yesterday that they were talking about they're handing citizens, you know, rifles if they want them to defend their country. This whole thing was definitely not accidental, and this was not any incident that just occurred out of nowhere, like you said. Ukraine and Russia, there's been this constant conflict over there for years, and a lot of this is exactly what you just said, in my opinion. It's an energy push. There's a lot of stuff that's going on behind the scenes right now as far as in the energy sector. I mean, we saw yesterday in early trading, oil hit $100 a barrel. It's going, I'm sure it's going to be hitting, skyrocketing again today and over on Monday over the weekend. You're going to start seeing fuel prices go up. The sanctions, yeah, that bumbling buffoon tried to put on Russia aren't going to do anything because our cost of living to go up. They're not going to hurt Russia one bit. They're sure as hell not going to stop Russia from doing what they want over the Ukraine. And so there's this catch-22 because, like you said, the United States has been made to look as a complete and total clown show over the past 2 years now. I mean, we've basically looked like a complete and total just nincompoop, right, over the last year. And what we're starting to see is now this whole thing was planned. They wanted to basically to take away the strength of the United States. When you put a clown in office and you put a hyena in office and you give them a ball and a pony and a circle and they can jump around and confuse everybody and entertain everybody, it's exactly what we've seen. I've been saying now for years that the vehicle market is going to go through a completely different transitory period in the 2020 range. By 2025, we're starting to see most vehicles being phased out. By 2030, there's going to be a push for all electric vehicles everywhere. And by 2035, they're planning on having everything autonomous, electric, all over the entire country. This isn't an accident. This isn't something that was basically thought of yesterday. This has been a well-orchestrated plan. And I've had numerous people that are in the vehicle manufacturing and dealerships network that I've had over the years. And I've said this 2 years ago when this started happening about the push for EV, and they kind of laughed and said, oh, whatever. They're all now confirming exactly what I said. They said what's occurring now is there's not a chip shortage. There has not been a significant chip shortage for any extended period of time. Were supplies delayed? Yes. Were transit times longer? Yes. We've all experienced that. That's not a joke. It's been very serious. However, what we're seeing now is a lot of these manufacturers that are all pretty much owned by the banking cartels, they do not have a way to get people to stop buying internal combustion engine vehicles. They need a way for people to buy vehicles that are going to tie into the Internet of Things. This is why Tesla, if you notice, has had no chip shortages and had record sales last year. How did Tesla have no chip shortages, but Ford and Chevy and all these other companies have all these problems? Well, it's very simple, because they wanted it to have a problem. You can't keep people from buying stuff that they want, and nobody that I know of really wants to go into this electrical world. It's not efficient. It's unbelievably polluted for lithium mining. It's unbelievably controlled as far as for the government, because every vehicle, every Tesla vehicle, is tied into the Internet of Things and connected to the satellites before it leaves the Tesla factory. It 100% at all point in times looks, watch, listens to everything that car does. That's the overall goal. And I think what they're doing now here is they're trying to price people out of the market by shorting the supply. So now you have these vehicles and pretty much everything has an addendum on it, $5,000 addendum on a Honda Civic, $20,000, $30,000 addendums on Fords, to making it so very few people can't buy these new vehicles, shorting the market so less vehicles are in the pool, which is continually causing the price to go up. And now we're about to see fuel go sky high. I've been in the markets for years, and I can tell you right now, if this continues to occur with these asinine sanctions, along with what's going on in the energy sector with Russia and Ukraine, we're probably going to see fuel anywhere from $6 to $7 a gallon by the end of this year. I don't think that's abnormal. We're already going to be pushing $5 a gallon now with oil at $100 a barrel. California and LA is already at $6 a barrel because the taxes are through the roof over there. This is the push to make it completely unaffordable for people to be able to drive and travel freely unmolested on their way. Currently, right now, you can go buy, an older vehicle if you have the means to do so, say like an 80s or a 90s F-250 7.3 diesel. Make sure it's done well. Make sure it's tuned up good. Make sure it's reliable. Go put a huge fuel cell in the back of your truck and load it up, with 200-400 gallons of fuel. Make sure you got the right springs in the back to carry the load and drive across country and have zero basically reliance on anybody. You do whatever you want to do. Go wherever you want to go. Drive where you want to drive. They don't want that. This is the push for the last phase to take away freedom and traveling freely away from the entire world. That's what this phase is with this next great reset they're pushing. And I think you're exactly right. This whole thing in Ukraine is not, by any circumstances of the matter, an accidental situation. This is something that has been working on for a while. And I see all these people on social media now trying to virtue signal. We need to go to war with Russia immediately. And I'm like, dude, that's the dumbest possible solution we could possibly do right now. First off, NATO's made no statements about Ukraine at all. They've been eerily quiet about this whole situation. We have no business operating and getting in the middle of a conflict between Ukraine and Russia. Obviously, China's already said they have Russia's back. So if we get involved, we're going to have an immediate start of World War III. Now, if they want to take it to that route, that's the easiest thing to do. If they don't want to take it to that route, then we'll stay out of it. But what's interesting about this, though, out of all this obfuscation, all this theater that CNN and all the mainstream media, every single outlet's blasting Ukraine footage now, day in, day out. Every single thing's Ukraine right now. What's interesting about it, what they're not talking about is the death rate continuing to climb from the COVID injection. They're not talking about why the CDC is withholding data on the vaccine because, and I quote, the data might be misrepresented as the vaccines being effective and the figures would be misrepresented by anti-vaccine groups. That's what we've now seen the CDC come out now, as they don't want to release any data on these shots and what it's doing. Well, the reason why it would be misrepresented is because it looks horrible, because it is. We've seen now a 68,000% increase in strokes and by basically COVID vaccines. You can look on the VAERS reporting. You can look on the yellow card reporting in Europe. You can look on the Eurobase. All this stuff is starting to come to light, how unbelievably toxic this is. And then on top of that, what you're seeing now, and I've gotten literally almost every day, Steve gets a phone call or I get an email almost this exact topic. Somebody's fully vaccinated or partially vaccinated. They get sick as a dog again. They go to the hospital. They put them on antibiotics, remdesivir. Within 2 to 5 days, organ failure, kidney shutdown, water retention, fluid in the lungs, put them on a vent, they die. It's literally that exact same story from a different family and a different person crying or emailing me asking what they can do. I've heard it so many times now, I've gotten numb to it, and so has Steve, and that's bad. We shouldn't be numb to this behavior that the hospitals are literally killing people left and right. That's why I've told people, make sure you're taking care of your body and do the best you can to stay out of the medical industrial complex. Are hospitals great if you need them? Yes. I went to one a couple months ago and I broke my wrist. I had to have it reset, put in a splint, then later on I had it put in a cast. I needed x-rays to see how bad I broke it. They're incredibly good at doing stuff like that. But going in because you got the sniffles or you got a really dry cough or you got a lingering effect from the shot that you took, how about even if you did decide you wanted to take the shot, you did take it and you're getting sick from it, how about you start looking at ways to detox your body, like chelation with heavy metal detoxifying and the magnesium brain food, which can also chelate heavy metals, and taking CoQ10 and vitamin E to strengthen your heart and try to prevent you from coming down with pericarditis or myocarditis. Obviously, the best option is just not get the clot shot, but I know a lot of people compromise and they went along with it even when they didn't want to and they shouldn't have. But again, there's always usually a solution to a problem. What we're seeing now here is they want to cover all of that up. Nobody's talking about COVID anymore, even though it's apparently this huge pandemic still and everybody needs to stay in place and wear a mask and get their shot. They keep pushing the shot, pushing the shot, pushing the shot, while literally piles of documented evidence are showing not only does this shot not work at all to prevent you from getting COVID, it causes debilitating side effects in a significant portion of the population. And we're just now starting to see a lot of these side effects unwell now, basically unveil themselves now. And we're only a year into this shot being out on the market. 2, 3, 4 years from now, I think we're going to see an entire generation that is going to be completely plagued with horrific side effects. And again, that's what I said. It's funny now, all this stuff's come out about Fauci over the last couple months and his funding with the NIH and the gain of function research, everything that we've seen now with the CDC involvement, them not wanting to release data, everything that's coming out with basically the VAERS reporting system, thousands and tens of thousands of people on Facebook and social media talking about the same thing, that their loved ones or their friends or their families having debilitating side effects, and it is media silence, silence. Not a single drop of it on mainstream media for months. They have not brought this topic up. Yet now, all everybody wants to talk about is a conflict between Russia and Ukraine and how we need to sanction them and go to war with them. If anybody hasn't been paying attention to our history, the last thing the United States needs to do right now is go get in another extended conflict with a superpower in the middle of a time when our financial system is literally on the brink of collapsing because of the cheap money that's been injected into it. We're talking about having more feds raising rates next month. That's going to have an interesting impact on the markets. At the same time now, again, we're seeing the cost of everything go up. People a lot of times, I think, fail to realize that every single thing you touch is affected by fuel prices. That's why I've said before, the single best-handed thing we could do to support the economy from a governmental standpoint right now, if they actually cared about it, one thing make a huge difference. Drop any and all state and federal taxes on fuel from the consumer, period. You would drop fuel down to $1.50, $2 a gallon in most parts, sometimes lower than that. And all of a sudden, you would have this massive influx again, and the ability for people to travel, for people to have extra income to go to restaurants, to go to stores, to go out to movies, and et cetera, go on vacation. But see, they don't want to do that. Their intent is not to salvage the economy. The intent is to implode the economy and then have a scapegoat. Now, see, COVID doesn't have to be the excuse anymore that the economy collapsed, because there was too many ties coming back in these big corporations and basically all these companies that made billions and billions and hundreds of billions of dollars during COVID while they shut down mom and pop stores. COVID wasn't the good excuse to shut down the economy. It was one of the reasons why they used it to come in. Now we can come in and say, listen, the economy and the fuel prices and everything have gone to crap now because of Russia. It's again, have you noticed Russia's always the scapegoat for everything that happens? Russia spying, Russian collusion, Russia this, Russia that. When in reality, it's the banker boys that are doing it the entire time, and they use Russia as a scapegoat. I'm not defending Russia or their behavior, Putin's behavior. I'm not a pro-war individual at all. I'm very libertarian. I like to leave people alone, because when people mess with me, I get really irritated. I'm kind of the perspective on that. But what we're seeing here now with the media obfuscation is nothing short than, I think, a full-blown cover to try to make people forget about what we just went through over the last 2 years and continue to comply with what they want to keep doing here in the United States and give everybody a break from COVID so they can bring COVID back and bring more restrictions and more monitoring and more spying and more control, circle it back around in a month or two and say, oh, the pandemic's coming back again. You need to stay home and be scared, because I don't think for 1 second we've seen the end of this full-blown hoax when it comes to COVID. I think they still have more up their sleeve. That is why it is so important. Continue to keep your immune system strong. Eat clean, stay clean, train hard, and continue to stay alert right now, because there are a lot of very strange things that are happening. What do you think?
You know, as I listened to you there, I couldn't help but think, by the way, yes, folks, make sure you stock up or purchase, get your nutritional supplements from Health Masters like right now, because you don't know what tomorrow and next week are going to bring. And I want to mention too, I'm going to be off next week, of course, having a surgery on Monday, or so it seems, based on everything I've been told today, it's still on. So, but on Monday, tune into Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com, Hagman Report, for a special update from Landon from SaveThem.org that was recorded earlier. You're not going to want to miss that. All right, but to what you were saying earlier, I can't think of a week when we go from a week in historically speaking now, when we start out the week by saying, wow, look at that freedom convoy or that peaceful protest in Canada, to, oh my goodness, you know, World War III, you know, we're on the brink, at the brink of World War III with Russia by way of Crimea. The arc, the news arc, the event arc, it's just really steep on this. I was thinking again, you know, in that convoy, that protest was about the mandates, the unconstitutional, illegal mandates and dictates of our dictators in Canada as well as here in the United States. So we go from that, and this, again, a steep arc of news into this World War III type scenario. So the bigger picture encompassing all of this is what I think we have to look at. And that's kind of where I'm looking. And you're right about the vehicles, going back to what you said earlier, too. The energy, what was one of the first things Biden did? He took us from an energy-independent country to an energy-dependent country, because he hates the fact that we can actually travel outside of a horse and buggy. We can actually travel with our vehicles, and that's going to come to an end pretty soon. So, yes, you're exactly right. So I'm going to be quiet now. But, man, I was planning early in the week of talking to you about what happened in Canada today, and now we're talking about this. But go ahead.
Oh, no, you're exactly right. Again, all the focus is on Ukraine now. We got the trucker convoy going to D.C. right now. And now I saw an article earlier, and I don't know if this is 100% accurate, but it seems like something these boys would do with George Soros funding them after we saw what they did burning cities in 2020. But there's been reports now that Antifa and leftists are starting to get in the convoy that are going to D.C. Now, again, I don't know people that are leftists in Antifa because I try to actively avoid morons, but this would be something, a perfect excuse now, Doug, to have the truckers to protest freedom and medical freedom, headed to D.C., and now put a bunch of trucks in that convoy or a bunch of minivans or a bunch of cars or whatever you need to do, whatever leftist Antifa people drive, and put MAGA hats on them, put Trump flags on their vehicles, and then send them into the convoy and send them into D.C. and have them be the paid agitators like they were in 2020, as we blatantly saw. And we've had reports the same type of individuals and FBI informants directly involved in the January 6th incident. Some of the people that actually spearheaded a lot of stuff breaking into the Capitol were pushed by those individuals. And so to me, I'd be very careful this convoy. Is it something that we need to protest and things need to be returned and rights need to be basically respected? Absolutely. But I really encourage everybody, if they're involved in this, be very aware of who's in this convoy and who's running around, because that's hard to do in a big convoy. You don't really know who links up with you. I mean, you're in an interstate convoy. You know, anybody's pretty much welcome. But there's something very strange about this, and it would be a perfect example of them to do this, another January 6th incident with a bunch of paid protesters and BLM and Antifa terrorists, and then turn around and do the same thing that Canada did and say, listen, this is the only option. We have to stop these terrorists, and Canada did this. We've got to start freezing bank accounts. We've got to start arresting people en masse. We have to start doing more investigations, even more than January 6th, and we have to go in and basically heavy-handed all of this, because these people are against freedom. They're against democracy. I saw the other day somebody was basically trying to justify why we need to go get in a direct conflict with Russia, and they said, this isn't about us. It's about democracy and freedom across the world, and we have to go save it. I went, wait a minute.
Did you say just, I hope he said, just shut up, you know?
Yeah, well, what are you even babbling about? You even know what you just said? So it's our responsibility to be the security guard of the world now and go work out a conflict between Ukraine and Russia that's been going on now for decades, essentially? Yeah, that's definitely our job that we need to do over here. While masks will be required on children in LA.
The southern border is looser than
wide open
than Pete Buttigieg's sphincter muscle. Yeah. Okay, I mean it's an open. Oh, I just got yelled at by Eric the Tech. I'm sorry. No, I mean for that visual, but yeah, I mean, look, you care about borders. What about our southern border?
This hypocrisy knows no bounds with this, Doug. That's why you have to look and you have to question everything they say and figure out what the ulterior motive is. Why haven't we put anything significant down on the southern border? Oh, actually, we stopped the wall going up. Oh, that's right. We've defunded a huge portion of basically the border patrol. Oh, that's right. We're basically allowing people in. And remember, all the migrants that come in, they're not required to get the injection. You know, they don't have to get shot, you know, because they're already healthy. Yeah, they already got COVID. They already got natural immunity. But hey, your five-year-old that's going to school in California, they've got to get all three shots once it's approved because it's for their safety. And once they get the shot, they still have to wear a mask because, you know, this is what pedophiles like to do. They like to make children their servants and basically their slaves. And it's exactly what we've seen them do to these poor children. That's why I've been so adamant about standing up for these kids that don't have the ability to make their voice heard because they're 5, 6 years old. They don't know what's going on. This is all going on right now in the United States, and everybody wants to go, hoorah, hoorah, let's go to war in Ukraine and get in a war with Russia and China because they're disputing borders. Like you said, what about our borders?
This is amazing to me, okay? I just need to ask you some questions because I really want to get your take on this. And folks, you can respond too in the Rumble or Brighteon in the comments section, but I want to ask you about this because, okay, so this week we saw Pastro Jr. up there, okay? People, you know, was that this week or was that like last month? No, it was this week.
Yeah.
Okay, so we saw Castro Jr. up there declare martial law. You saw the truckers, and I want you to apply this to what's, you know, this current convoy here. Because I have the same concerns about Antifa, BLM, and the feds, all right? But you know, and by the way, you wonder what they're driving. Look for Priuses, Subarus, and the feds will be driving, you know, probably a Suburban. But no, okay. But here's what I want to ask you. All right, we saw the declaration essentially of martial law in Canada, and then the rescission of the martial law. All right, now we saw a tremendous beatdown of the convoy members, protesters, and others up in Canada. I mean, just a beatdown. It was hard to watch when that indigenous woman was and the other gentleman was trampled by a horse. Okay, just incredible to watch. Hard to watch. Now, here's my question. And the bank account's frozen. Apply what we saw there to here. Will that happen here, number one? Number two, should it happen here? Because we have the Second Amendment. And speaking of the Second Amendment, does that give anyone license? And I'm asking this, does the treatment... I'm having a hard time. You know what? I'm having a hard time resolving what I witnessed the police do, who are supposed to protect and serve, against the very, very peaceful protesters. I mean, you know what? If somebody did that to my wife or my aunt, okay, I'm gonna do everything in my power. I'm just gonna leave that there, all right? Because you're not gonna do that, but. Help me understand this, brother. What do we do? I guess that's my question. What do we do at this point? Isn't it time now? If we're going to protest, isn't it, and again, I'm asking the question, isn't it time to stand up in an armed fashion and say, you know what? No further than this. No, this is my line. I don't know, because somebody injects my grandson, I'm going to come after you. If a cop beats the crap out of my daughter or whatever, I'm going to come after you. So help me out with this. I really want to know.
Well, they're pushing for a civil war, and we're on the cusp of it right now. Every single American has a right to defend themselves if they have an aggression pushed on them. Being in law enforcement does not give you a right to run around and step on people with horses. It does not give you a right to walk up to somebody on the sidewalk and billy club them in the face with a nightstick. It does not give you that right. Law enforcement has very specific guidelines in which they're supposed to follow when it comes to law enforcement. Enforce the law. When you start coming in and you say, you're not allowed to be outside right now because we said so, that's not a law. There may have been a mandate, but it is not a law. And on top of that, law enforcement doesn't have a license to kill unfettered, unadulterated, on their way with immunity. Now, a lot of them haven't gotten away with it. If you have these guys, which I really hope, we're going to see this in a week with these truckers. We're going to see if law enforcement up in D.C. is seen enough and they realize this is tyranny, or they're going to be the useful idiots that a lot of them end up being, and they're just going to go along with it, and they're just going to say, okay, we're just going to go ahead and start running around batoning people. Law enforcement has to have consequences because of their level of authority that they have. Authority that's unchecked with no consequences is not true authority. It is tyranny. They're in place over you to basically terrorize you and push their tyrannical agenda onto you. So everybody has to have a very, very clear-cut idea of what we're seeing right now. If you're walking down the sidewalk with your child, and all of a sudden a horse cop comes by and decides they want to run you over and start stepping on your wife or stepping on your child with their horse, I can give you a 100% guarantee I'm going to engage him with deadly force because he engaged me with deadly force first. I don't care if he's law enforcement. I don't care if he's military. I don't care if he's UN. Nobody has the right to unprovoked force against somebody else in the United States. We have a constitution here for a reason. There are very clear-cut guidelines on that. The Second Amendment is in place for this specific reason. Now, does that mean we all need to throw on ARs and run around and go storm federal buildings? No, absolutely not. I've never advocated that type of behavior whatsoever.
And nor do I. Go ahead.
I've never advocated that. But there also has to be a level of respect among each groups. And what they're trying to do, you can see this, they're trying to get law enforcement stoked against the civilian population. I pray the civilians and law enforcement keep clear heads and don't allow themselves to be used as pawns in the game. I pray that law enforcement up in Chicago and D.C. pull off their stupid nightsticks and pull off their doggone helmets, and they march with the protesters and say, no, we're not going to do this. Canada was a prime cut example of what happened when tyranny is completely unchecked and nobody has a defense against it. This clear-cut example. I mean, when that girl, that guy got trampled by those horses, and then the cop is tweeting out and basically sending text messages, joking and laughing about running people over with horses that are literally standing in the middle of the square over there. These guys, not one time did I see protesters at the beginning running around, throwing bricks in windows and Molotov cocktails at cops and fireworks with nails strapped to them. By the way, those are all things that Antifa and BLM terrorists did two summers ago without any ramifications whatsoever for the most part. Very few people ever got arrested, much less actually got convicted. But now all of a sudden, we have groups that say, we want freedom. We're taking our rights back. This is going to be a very, very big point right now of what's happening in the United States and how we're going to further as a country. If this thing is going to collapse as the United States of America, as it was the great country, and it's going to be basically in the ash heaps of history with Rome, we may be in that sector right now, Doug. We may be in that final phase of the United States. And at any point in time, that means everybody needs to be alert, aware, and acute and strong and healthy in order to defend your family and defend your community or wherever you're at and defend freedom. Because too many people, I think, have gotten complacent in the last 2 years. I mean, everybody's had issues. You know, everybody may have got sick or put on extra weight. I get that. Well, this is it now. This is it. This is the real acid test. How this affects and what happens in the next couple of weeks is going to be a very, very pivotal point for where we go. Like I said earlier, all this information about what's been going on with the shots and the graphene oxide and the side effects. I just saw an article earlier here. It was talking about in Germany. German health issuer reveals the alarming unreporting of vaccine side effects. The large German health insurance provider revealed on Wednesday the side effects are being vastly reported. After analyzing data from over 10 million individuals, BKK Provita board member Andreas Schofbeck, over a 7.5 month period beginning in early 2021, 216,695 policyholders out of 10.9 million were treated for vaccine side effects. That's an insanely staggering high amount of people. This compares to the 244,000 reports of the 61 million people in the entire German country. That's what's been reported on the Euro. Well, what's interesting about this, you've had almost the same amount of people only out of 10 million, which means the numbers don't add up, which means they're skewed by about 500%. Which means the real numbers on this mean there's been probably roughly about 1 to 1.5 million severe adverse effects in Germany from this shot. Those numbers are staggering. They're disturbing at the very least. And again, not a single coverage in any media in Europe or in the United States.
And, you know, I'm so glad. Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that report up because people are not going. I mean, people are so inundated with everything that you know, it's like, where do I turn next? I can't keep up, and I can't either. So I'm glad you brought that report up. I think in the program description box today, or for this episode tonight, we'll have it on there. Hopefully I can do that. Folks, Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. If you stop what you're doing right now, order from HealthMasters, healthmasters.com. Make sure you get your nutritional supplements today. Look, who knows? Are the trucks going to be running next week? I don't know. But who knows? Are we going to be able to order next week? Who knows? So do it today. HealthMasters.com. That's HealthMasters.com. And by the way, while you're there, listen to the Ted and Austin Brower Show. Look at that link on the top right there, the blue bar there. Ted and Austin Brower Show. There you go. Click on that link as you the links within the right hand area there, and listen, especially live Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m. and on Sundays, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern time. All right. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to make sure that people know that, hey, you got to get your stuff right now, man.
You're right. I had this conversation with a customer yesterday that had come in the office, and they were asking me about food buckets and stuff. And I told them, I said, listen, I said, you can grab some of us. We got the organic ones. You know, we have a couple sales and kits. I said, if you can't afford those, don't want to get those, I said, at least get in the store and grab stuff. I said, because what's going to happen if something starts to occur very rapidly in this country, like everybody has seen in conflicts, it happens very quickly. It takes about 2 to 3 days and everything starts going chaos. By 5 days, people start going against each other. Within a week to 10 days, you start having armed conflicts in the middle of neighborhoods and driveways because people are basically having significant issues. This is not a random occurrence. This is not a rarity. This is pretty much the norm in any type of conflict. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But one thing that does happen at the same time is you lose continuity of the economy. Trucks stop running, as we're seeing and we've seen before. Prices start going up, supplies start getting crunched. And right now, I mean, you're trying to get meat, good quality meat at the stores, everything's starting to get thin. I was at Publix the other day, they had a whole section where beef is. They were kind of trying to spread it out and make it look like it was there, but I'm like, there's like one pack. Normally, you know, they got 4 or 5 packs stacked up on it, and there's like one pack and they have it all spread out. And I'm like, okay, obviously we're running into supply issues. It's getting short. And so that's why I've encouraged people. A lot of people in the United States, and we're all bad about this, is we procrastinate with a lot of stuff because we're so used to basically just-in-time inventory, just-in-time what we need at our house. Oh, I need some food. I'm going to run up to the store real quick. I'll be back in 20 minutes, babe. I'll be right back when we make dinner. Everybody's done that before. Everybody's done that. Now, some people do more than others. Some people don't. But when that starts to happen, here's the problem. If everybody starts going, I got to go to the store. The perfect example was toilet paper at the beginning of COVID. Toilet paper. Out of all things that nobody really thought about, people started panic buying toilet paper, not because COVID somehow gave you some horrible issues with your bowels. It wasn't. It was just people started buying it. And when people started to see other people with shopping carts full of toilet paper, everybody else started buying shopping carts full of toilet paper. And it was an ongoing circle to the point within a few weeks, you couldn't find toilet paper anywhere. And there's jokes about it, about, oh man, we had a toilet paper crisis, man. I got a good roll over here. I got it for the low. I'll sell you $10 a roll, you know, black market toilet paper. It was jokes, memes about it. And what really the reality, though, it wasn't funny. It was real. You think about toilet paper, think about a real, I mean, which obviously is a necessity. You think about a real necessity like bottles of water or food or meat. All of a sudden, people start going to the store and they start clearing shelves out. It doesn't take long for the rest of the shelves to get cleared. So I encourage people, the same thing when it comes to supplements. We're going to keep this fight going as long as we can. We're never going to stop here as best as we possibly physically can. But again, it's crucial that people have backup reserves of whatever they need for crucial supplements, whether it be cinnamon extract, like we talked about on the last show with your blood sugar, or food buckets, or canned food from the store, or bags of beans and rice, or ammo, whatever it is, you don't wait until the last second. And you can see the horizon coming. You can see the storm off the horizon right now. It's not difficult to watch. The very fact we're having the mainstream media blast everything about the Ukraine all day, every day, and it's continuing, and it's going to go on. And they're not talking about anything over the last 2 years of what was done to us and what we are subjected to. And the fact that BLM terrorists and Antifa terrorists were unfettered. They had did anything they want for an entire summer, including burning entire cities on fire. And that was totally okay because they're social justice warriors and they were fighting the law enforcement. Well, they weren't fighting any law enforcement. Majority of them were all paid terrorists. That's why they were burning down McDonald's. Don't really know how that's supposed to elicit change with law enforcement when you go burn down McDonald's or you go burn down a jewelry store or you go loot Best Buy. That was the thing that I got. Well, they're not looting. They're just taking what they need. As videos of guys come out of the store with 70-inch TVs. I'm like, oh, yeah, he must need another 70-inch TV for his house. That's definitely a necessity.
I'm telling you, yeah. You said something very interesting, and I want people to, you folks, most people won't remember this unless you're my age, and even at my age, it's a very, very distant memory. But back in November of 73, when Austin was talking about the phenomenon about the toilet paper, all right, back in 1973, November, Johnny Carson made a joke about a shortage, and it was a combination of things, but he joked about toilet paper shortage, which caused a run on toilet paper. All right. Which it was just an unbelievable set and series of events back then. You can look this up. Snopes will say, well, it wasn't that. It was that plus more. But I guess the reason I bring that up right now is because we're looking at this just-in-time delivery, as Austin Brower is talking about. You talk about the fragility of our supply chain, the fragility of our infrastructure. It's never been more fragile. So again, this is a pitch for Health Masters as well. Go get Health Masters right now. Stop what you're doing. Go to healthmasters.com and make sure you order your supplements. But So you're, I mean, you're exactly right on all of these. So in the last, I guess we got like 19 minutes or something like that, 15 minutes. I want to make sure we kind of cover the full spectrum analysis of everything that's going on. And you know, you brought up so many good points, from the electric vehicles, the energy attack on energy, the supply lines. I mean, from Canada, the United States, what's going on to overseas. None of this is happening by accident, is it, Austin? Is it? This is all planned out.
Oh, it was planned out from the very start. I mean, this has been an ongoing agenda, and I called it out the very beginning of 2020 when stuff started. We all knew that there was something fishy going on, the whole virus thing and how it was spreading so fast and how it got over here from China so quickly and how it was just everybody all of a sudden knew everything about it and the government knew everything about it. And then we start talking to people that catch it and they recover, and talk to other people that catch it and they recover. And all of a sudden these random death rates are going through the roof. And then we start seeing people die in motorcycles and car accidents and heart attacks. And all of a sudden everything's a COVID death. We called it from the very beginning. It wasn't hard to figure out if you had eyes and ears and you were willing to see the truth. This entire thing has been planned from the start. And what the next plan is going to be, they've said this, they've told us, the energy crisis, the climate crisis. We've got to fight climate crisis. They've even made our articles have come out now that I've seen. And they've talked about how lockdowns may be a good tool to fight climate crisis because they were so good for COVID. Even though we found, even Johns Hopkins University found, their 2 years of research found the lockdowns and the mandates absolutely did nothing. And in most cases, viruses go through communities. This is what happens. This is why somebody gets the flu at the house and everybody gets the flu and everybody gets sick for a couple of days and everybody's over it. It's part of life. You can't go through your entire life being scared. You can't be terrified of everything and every nook and cranny and ladybug outside because somebody told you to. People believe what authority tells them. The problem is we've not taken the right steps to maintain proper authority. We listen to the wrong authority, like CNN or Fox News or any of these other platforms. They're all controlled theater. They're designed to push your ideas and your minds in a specific direction that they want you to go. It's very simple psychology. It's not difficult to understand. I studied this when I was in my undergraduate degree. And you can look at all the research that's come out now. And if you have somebody that walks in with a lab coat and a stethoscope, I could just walk into a class. And all of a sudden they walk in and say, listen, we're having a medical emergency right now. We need everybody to line up against the wall. We need everybody to roll their arm up. We need everybody to get a shot real quick. This vaccine's for your safety and for your health. And most studies, they'll show majority of the class will do it. And the person with the stethoscope and the lab coat isn't anybody. They're not even a teacher. They're a random person they selected to get up and walk in front of the class. And you're going to have about 80% of the people are going to take the shot. They're going to say, oh, okay, I need the shots for my safety. History doesn't show that that was the case all the time. The United States was a very rebellious country. We always tried to strive for the latest and greatest. Of course, there's always going to be some idiots in the groups that don't do anything. But what we've seen now is human beings have become the only species that do not strive to at least try to get to their maximum potential. We've become a society now where everybody wants to be told what to do and told how to live. And some people are actually craving it. There are people, like I said last week, they're going to universities and protesting the mask mandates be put back on. They want the mask mandates put back in place because they feel this newfound control that they have with muzzling people and being able to virtue signal people. No point in history has it ever been a positive outcome when people follow the morons in the group. Never, 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 never. And if you look in the animal kingdom, you look at every other species, no other species follows the dumbest, most asinine, retarded individual in the group. Never. They always follow the strongest leader, the one that's the fastest, the strongest, the most aggressive, the best fighter, the best protector, the smartest one that's looking out for everybody. That's how every species functions in groups. But for some odd reason now, the United States has gotten so backwards, all we want to do is follow the dumbest, most ignorant moron in the room and say, he's got a lab coat and a stethoscope. We should do what he tells us to do because it's science. Well, this wasn't by accident. This is by very, very well effective propaganda and psychological control that was put on the populace. And a lot of it started once the television came out. The television was built under a patent as a mind control device. That's why I had warned people, do not watch the mainstream media. It is like watching poop. You're putting poop in your brain. That's what you watch when you watch mainstream media. It is all controlled theater designed to push you in a different direction than you want to go and make you focus on things you do not need to focus on. This is what it does. This is why we're at where we're at in the United States. I have told so many people back in the past, and I'm like, yeah, I cut my TV off. I have no TV. I have no cable or anything in my house. And they go, wow, really? I said, yeah. So I have internet. So I work and stuff in the house. I want to look something up or I want to watch something that I want to watch. Because remember, when you turn on the news, you have no control about what they're going to show you next. You have no control about it. You start watching it, you just simply take the 30 minutes of news as 30 minutes of news, and that's it. You don't do your own research. You don't dig in and do an investigative journalism. You don't actually do real fact-checking, not Facebook fact-checking. That's just where the communists monitor the conservatives and they tell the conservatives everything they say is a lie when everything's the truth. It's just reverse fact-checking. It's propaganda. But you don't do any research. You don't look up what you need to look up. You don't talk to anybody and converse about what's really going on that may be educated in that realm. You simply stare at the TV. You drool on yourself. You let all the filth go in your brain. And then you soak it up and absorb it and think about it all night. And then it focuses. And then you go in the direction that they want you to go. That's how it's done. Very simple. So important right now, my friends. You got to wake other people up and you got to get the truth out there and you got to stay prepped and awake in anything you do. That's what I told people for years. When I talked to a lot of my military buddies that came back from Iraq and stuff, they always told me, I said, dude, always keep a gear bag in your truck. Always keep a gear bag. Everything in there from maps, whether you want topographical, you want state, you want county, you want southeast, wherever you're at. You got basically supplies in there. You got extra food bars in there. You got flares in there. You got extra pistol in there. You got magazines in there. You have some silver coins in there. List goes on the line. Because at any point in time, you never want to be that person in the room that's caught with your pants on the ground and you don't know what to do. You have no way to do anything at all. That's where everybody has gotten now because of the psychological conditioning. We're waiting on somebody to tell us what to do. And this is one of the biggest problems that we had when Trump got in. And he did some things good. He did some things bad. As we're seeing now, he didn't do anything about January 6th and pardon anybody. He just kind of let everybody rot now from the very beginning. But yet what happened was the Patriot community kind of went to sleep. We were waiting. Hey, Trump's going to fix this. And we all kind of just sat by. Well, everybody now should have gotten a very clear reality check. We are being controlled by a communist government. It is full-blown communism. It's back. And now we got China buying up huge sectors of the United States. They're poised, in my opinion. I think they've been told by the bankers they're going to be the next superpower after the United States falls. That's why they're buying up so much land here, huge developmental real estate plats. I've looked at companies and corporations now that are owned by Chinese nationals buying up. They also have their own line of electric vehicles that are already being produced. People don't even realize that. They have their own cars in China that are produced in China, full EV. Because what's going to happen is, once all the internal combustion engine vehicles start slowing down and it becomes so expensive to drive them, it's $8, $9, $10. It costs you $350 to go fill up your Chevy 2500. People are going to start looking at EV. Well, Tesla doesn't have the manufacturing capacity to keep up with millions and millions of cars every single year. You're going to have other manufacturers who are going to dive in. And I think China is going to try to fill that gap as well with their Chinese spy cars. Remember, by 2025, 2026, the infrastructure bill, they already have a pilot program here in the United States that they wanted to watch, record, monitor, and view you inside your vehicle at all time to keep you safe. You know, it's going to be to make sure you're not driving distracted. And I've told everybody before exactly what they're going to do with these EV vehicles. That's why I'm so against them. That's why I will not buy them. I will not invest in them. I will not even try to make money off of them. I don't want anything to do with them. I'm diametrically opposed to them. The technology isn't here, especially from an infrastructure standpoint to maintain them. Not to mention the privacy problems with them, not to mention the issues we've seen with lithium strip mining, not to mention what happens when they get cold, not to mention what happens when they get too hot, and. This push is not by accident. It's all designed, and it's designed to keep everybody focused in the wrong direction while they pull their game behind everybody right now. Just like you said, people ask, oh yeah, I remember what happened in Ottawa. It was like a month ago. A lot of people probably think that. No, it was last weekend. Last weekend, been going on and on and on and on. Now we're going to see here in D.C. We're going to watch it. And I promise you, The only media coverage you're going to see cover what happens in D.C. is either going to be them trying to demonize the truckers and make them look horrible and blame them for every single thing that happens when they're fighting for our freedom, or they're just going to ignore the whole thing and focus on Putin invading Russia or invading Ukraine and basically trying to convince everybody we need to go get another conflict again so we can go to a world war so then they can bring in the great reset, which may be the overall goal that they're shooting for. And if that's the case, everybody needs to make sure they're very vigilantly prepped. Hope everybody's stocked up on ammo now that's starting to drop back in price, because I assure you, I've been in that market with a lot of the contracts and, you know, contractors that I know, security contractors. Ammo prices are going to be going up again. Fuel prices, food prices, everything's going up. That's why the food buckets went up $35. Our cost, they went up $35 a food bucket for the meat buckets. I told everybody, I said, I'm not making any extra money. This is what my new cost is on. I suggest you buy them on this phase before they go up. And a lot of people did. And again, I encourage people, have backup supplies if you need them. Don't be a three-day person where you're freaking out of food in your pantry in 3 days. Not a good look, not a good plan, and not good if you're the head of your household and you're there to protect and serve your family and children, Doug. Not a good look for you.
You know, you're absolutely right. And that goes for everything, but especially on the ticket, big ticket and important ticket items like ammunition. Even if you, folks, even if you don't have a weapon, okay, it's, you can use it as barter, but if you should have a weapon, but I digress. But especially in including, of course, food, and food buckets are a great option. Go to healthmasters.com as well as your nutritional supplements, healthmasters.com. I can't stress that enough, because if you don't have your health, what do you have? You're a liability, not an asset. And I appreciate, by the way, I do appreciate what you and your family do in terms of offering the public, and especially our listeners, the quality nutritional supplements. So, yeah, and thank you for that. So of all the things that are going on here in the last several minutes that we've got, you know, I don't even know how to even frame this question outside of, what do we need? Obviously, we need to ask God to guide our steps. But is there anything, you know, aside from physical preparations and such, what are we looking at here in the next couple of days, next week or so? Is there anything you see on the event horizon that, man, maybe might be the other shoe to drop? Anything?
Well, first off, Jesus, we need that more than anything right now. But yes, on the secondary source of that, I think primarily a lot of the stuff I listed, one thing that I've always told people that they need to have is backup water supply. Our water distillers are great. You can fill up backup jugs and keep them. If you don't want to do that, at least get jugs from the store that are hard plastic, that don't have BPA in them. That's really important. And don't buy distilled in plastic. Never buy distilled in plastic. Our distillers that we use, I store them in either BPA-free containers or glass containers when I store my water. Little bit of the Aquatrace to basically add a little minerals to it. You can pretty much store it indefinitely. I think that's one thing that a lot of people forget and overlook. You know, is they'll buy 50 food buckets, but they don't have any water. What happens when the power goes out if you don't have a generator? Well, you're not going to have water. What happens is basically you start seeing droughts in areas. Well, you don't have water. What happens if supply lanes shut down and the stores don't get bottled water? Water is one of the only elements that you die from in like 3 days if you don't get it. You know, you can go without food for a while. 3 days without food or 3 days without water, you're not going to really be much after that. And so I think that's one of the main ones. And again, I encourage people to continue to train, exercise, stay strong. It depends where you're at and where you can stay. If you have injuries you're working around, I don't give any advice on that. But it's important that people keep their cardiovascular system and their agility and strength at least best possible. And I also encourage people to continue to get some target time in. I know that's a weird topic to say right now. If you're, you know, limited on ammo or budgets, then try to find a digital shooting range that you can practice. I actually just went to one the other night that they opened up in Lakeland. Really cool. They got these big screens. They got Glock 17s. They have SBR ARs, and their power, basically all the magazines have gas in them. So you have full cyclical effect, and then after about, you know, 30 to 40 rounds in the AR, you got to change mags out. So they even have like magazine holsters, you know, so you can have a couple on your rack and then, you know, basically have the pistol mags and change them different scenarios with like force on force and like live video. They also have different target stuff. Even just doing that and making sure your target acquisition's in point, obviously live fire training is the best option. Dry fire is also something good to do at the house on a regular basis. make sure you're staying active with this, because when something starts to occur, you generally don't have time to prep for it. Nobody really goes to the store like, you know what? I know when I go to the store tonight, I'm going to get in a gunfight. So I'm bringing 3 extra mags with me. I'm bringing the big Glock, and I'm going to make sure I got my body armor on. Doesn't usually happen unless you live in Chicago. but in all reality, though, in seriousness, you got to stay prepped and exercise if you get in a conflict, especially, again, I stress it, if you're the head of your household and you're there to serve and protect your family, because they rely on you to take care of them and train them and teach them how to do stuff that you know, basically as far as defense tactics as well. That's why my son's 5. I got him in Brazilian jiu-jitsu right now. They're also going to start working on, hand-to-hand as far as in karate next. And so a full spectrum platform, because he's got to protect his sister and his mom as he gets older. So again, I encourage people, it's now's that time. I generally don't give that out that much, but even if this thing dies down, even if the truckers make great strides in DC, and even if stuff starts to go back to normal, what we're seeing right now, the communist takeover, they're not going to stop. They're going to keep pushing this and pushing it and pushing it. And so it's time for us to understand that if it is to be, it's up to us right now, though.
You know, I like that. If it's to be, it's up to me sentiment. And I truly believe that's where we're at. We could micro analyze everything that's happened in the last several days, the last year, the last 2, 3, 4 years. And we do often do that. But the important thing is right now to hit your knees, ask God for guidance, and be prepared. Be prepared for anything, because that's the adult thing to do, is to be prepared always. And again, make sure you're healthy, healthmasters.com. Any coupon codes? No?
I can activate Doug 5. It's not active right now. Kick it on for the weekend to help everybody out. Lots of specials as well on the website. So if you need anything, and if people have anything they need quickly, we do have expedited shipping on the website. We can get stuff out very, very quickly. I got great rates on next day air as well. If you want something very speedy like that, like next day air, early AM, you can call us up and we'll give you a quote. But we have very, very good rates compared to just about anybody because of how much we ship for that really, really fast stuff. And I've encouraged people on that before. If you need something in a hurry or something that you need backup of, like cinnamon extract or HGH for blood pressure, whatever it may be, make sure you take advantage of it. And, you know, in the expedite, it's only $19. And we usually have it to everybody in like 2 days, 3 days. And so we do the best we can to get stuff out immediately, especially when stuff like this is happening. We'll work overtime to make sure all orders are filled as fast as we make them.
Beautiful. Yeah. And your normal shipping is quick. I was very impressed by, and have been very impressed by the way I order in the morning, it's shipped by the afternoon, and sometimes maybe a day and a half, I have it in my hand. So it's really great. And I appreciate what you and your family do. Healthmasters.com, just for a very, very limited time, Doug 5, DUUG5 on non-saleable items, or items that are not on sale. That's Doug 5, DUUG5, just for a limited time. That's healthmasters.com. Austin, thank you so very much. We covered a lot of ground. And when you were talking, I wrote something down here. We were saying the quiet part out loud and discussing what you folks are thinking. And, you know, it's nice when we can do that without restraint, without censorship. So, and I know you do that on your program as well. God bless you, my friend. God bless
you. Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
All right. You too. All right, folks. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. What a week, huh? Eric the Tech, what a week. Now, next week, you're not going to be on site, are you or are you? Well, you know what? I'm not going to get into that.
But I'm taking off.
You're taking off. All right. And folks, just to let you know, next week, with the exception of Monday, we're going to air a show that was pre-recorded very recently with Landon from SaveThem.org. You're going to want to tune into that. It's an update about the human and child sex trafficking. And I think we did that right after the Super Bowl, but it's got some information in there you're going to hear. And so this coming week, this platform will be dark. All right. Besides Monday. Eric the Tech said, yeah, don't forget, besides Monday. Folks, I hope, I really hope that we did okay for you this week. I know that it was really all over the place, but so was the news. When you hit your knees tonight, thank God you're living in a time like this. That's okay. You can play us out. Or do I keep going? I keep going. Eric says, no, you keep going. Thank you. No, yeah, appreciate that. But I do want to, I want to thank you for your patience. I ask that you come back. I'm going to try maybe even do some audio if I can talk. I might do like an audio show toward the end of the week because I know I'm going to be going out of my mind, not doing shows. So, but I want to thank you for your patience, your kindness, and your generosity and your support as we continue on this journey together. Oh, what a week. Eric the Tech, thank you for being a great tech, a great man behind the scenes, and a great son-in-law. God bless you. Folks, God bless you. Have a great night.